What's up, everybody? My name's Garrett Morlang.
Hey, everybody. I'm JJ Prudham.
And we are the Super Gamer Boys.
And we are the preeminent video game podcast in the entire world. We're trying to take over the world with all of our comedy, with news and whatnot, and we are so excited to be members of the HP Video Game Podcast Network.
Yes, we bring you all the news you want to know every week. We bring you movie reviews, game reviews, and all the goofs you want to hear. So come check us out every Wednesday on your favorite podcast service.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother...
Welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, number one video game podcast in the kingdom of Koneria. I am your host this week, Bryant Bayamot Daniels. And if this is your first time joining us, usually we have Todd with us. However, Todd is on special assignment this week. He is at QuakeCon this weekend, so he will be reporting back next week. Next week with some of the stuff he saw over at QuakeCon 2019 here in the DFW area. So I wanted to bring you just a special episode. I'm going to do my own little top seven here. Plenty of Final Fantasy talk here inspired by Booteous Bob. It's going to be our top seven Square games. So originally Bob sent over Square Enix. I decided to open it up and make Square because if you just go typical Square Enix and you restrict it to just what Square Enix developed, makes it a little bit more limited. And I wanted to go Square because Square made some of my favorite games in the 90s. So we're going to get onto that list here in a minute. First, I wanted to say, again, if this is your first time joining us for a video game show, usually it's me and Todd getting together every week to talk about the video games we've been playing, break down some news in a roundtable, or doing a top seven. This week, again, is just a top seven, and it's just me, your host Bryant here by himself, but that's okay. We're going to break down those top seven Square games here in just a moment. Also, I wanted to let you guys know, like us over at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod. You can follow us at Twitter at @stt_pod, instagram.com/skipthetutorialpod. And of course, you can email us if you agree or disagree with our opinions at skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. But feel free to hit us up. We'll always reach out to you guys. We love our tribe. We also have the tribe group over there on the Facebook. We have a Discord. And we got t-shirts available. T-shirts if you want to support the show and throw us a little change. That's not a bad way to do it. Always wear the t-shirt. That's pretty dope designs there. We got the Buddhism shirt and we've got the Skip the Tutorial logo shirts over available at TeePublic. Check our Facebook and Twitter for those links. So without further ado, because I'm the RPG addict of the show, it's time to get down to these top seven Square games who are known for their RPGs, although not all of them are RPGs. However, I believe, yep, looking at my list, all of mine are RPGs. So let's get that started. Number seven is a game that I have a very complicated relationship with, as the listeners of this show will know, and that is Kingdom Hearts. Okay, so I love Kingdom Hearts the same way I love a really bad movie. We'll put it like that. The storyline makes zero sense. It's completely convoluted and all over the place. It's got a very deep mythology to it, and either that deep mythology comes from the need of tying all these strands together, or the mythology comes from people who actually take their time and care and consideration. I feel like they were just trying to figure out a way to tie all these storylines together, so they just kind of threw in this mix-mash of RPG story creators, and they just plugged in Disney and Final Fantasy characters into it, and that's what we get. However, that being said, playing both with Disney and Final Fantasy characters, and especially the first Kingdom Hearts, is an incredibly fun experience. The combat system, while especially in 3 sort of broken, actually can be a lot of fun. And 3 had some of my favorite moments of combat with some of the magic and ultimate spells. I thought they were pretty cool. Some of the designs are really unique. Some of the worlds feel very kind of fleshed out with this Disney aesthetic, bringing these Final Fantasy characters, and they merge in a way that you wouldn't expect. That is still the best part about Kingdom Hearts 3, is being able to explore these Disney worlds through the eyes of your character. So it's an interesting series. I know they've got the Deadeye Goofy in it, and I know I've had a complicated relationship with that series. Kingdom Hearts 2 is probably my favorite one. I wanted to include this one as a full series, as there's 100 of them for almost no reason whatsoever. But check it out if you've never played them. Definitely pick up the story so far. It's an excellent collection. I think they have it on Amazon right now for $39.99. My number six is Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Dawn of Souls, released for the GBA in 2003. Final Fantasy 1 and 2. So the unique thing about this collection, especially with the remake of the GBA, is they brought this more modern control scheme to it, more modern UI to it with the RPG elements. They took their time. You know, they took a lot of love and a care in the series. After all, without Final Fantasy 1, you specifically do not have the RPG as we know it today. It's an extremely influential series from the beginning. You know, it's since I've got the map, the original map, hanging on my wall, just right behind me. But they also included on the GBA Final Fantasy II. Now, Final Fantasy II is kind of an interesting story, because you had Final Fantasy I come out in the U.S. They started to work on the localization of Final Fantasy II. It was supposed to be called Dark Shadow over Palakia. But there were some issues that went wrong. There was a prototype cartridge, but specifically speaking, you know, the game did not get a release until this GBA version. Now, the thing about Final Fantasy II is, well, it didn't get a release in the States. Let me correct myself. It did not get a release in the States until the GBA version that came out in 2003. And it was released originally, actually, I correct that. It wasn't released as the GBA. It was the Final Fantasy Origins is when it came out. And that's when it had new graphics, music, and illustrations. However, that being said, Final Fantasy II, if you've never played it, it's a lot of fun, but it is just Star Wars. The storyline is just Star Wars, but it's an incredibly fun little combo pack. It'll take you a lot more time than you expect. Be prepared to grind out them levels, dog, because until you, in Final Fantasy I, when you get to that final boss, I think it's, you need to be at least above a level 70 to really do anything worthwhile. But that is my selection for number six, Final Fantasy 1 and 2, Dawn of Souls. Number five for me is a game that I touted a couple of years ago on this show. Still impressive. Still have gone back to it at least one additional time. It's a very complicated game with some controversy surrounding the way the main character was dressed, Miss 2B, and that is Nier Automata. So I know a lot of people, this is very divisive between the combat system being not exactly accessible or necessarily fun. But I enjoy the combat system for what it is, between, you know, the gun shooting and the sword play, whatever you want to do with that. However, what really made this game fascinating to me was the philosophical bent on the android 2B, and just kind of the way they handled some of those missions and some of those really darker moments of the game. Speaking of Kingdom Hearts 3, that totally ripped off Nier Automata later on, but it was still a good take on that system. If you've played both games, you'll know exactly what sequence I'm talking about. However, Nier Automata is very dark and bleak and has a lot of twists and turns, and specifically story-wise is an incredibly fun experience. My number four is all the way from 1998. Oh, please let me be right or correct me. I don't care. But it is Parasite Eve for the PlayStation 1. Parasite Eve for the PlayStation 1. A game that does not get enough credit. Okay, excuse me. Yes, 1998. That was correct. But Parasite Eve does not get enough credit. It is a horror RPG, which you don't see a whole lot of. Specifically, the reason I started playing it was not just because I'd picked up Final Fantasy VII shortly before this And that was my first real delve into that kind of 3D RPG, and I was incredibly impressed. But I was also, as I've talked about on this show, a horror buff. And so anything horror-related, any type of video game that was horror-related, I wanted to play it, and it started with Resident Evil. So Parasite Eve comes out. It's got these weird animations and an interesting aesthetic appeal, and it's got a unique kind of psychological or combat system to it where you're using these kind of psych powers to enhance your weapons. And overall, it's a very, as Bob has said before, it's very anime. It's a very anime story. But it's really kind of this, you know, dark, twisted tale that takes you through this world that's kind of rooted in real world issues, but at the same time, you know, asks you to bring in kind of these not magical moments, but I would say more like fantasy like moments. It's kind of this interesting combo that I don't think we see a lot of. I love it. I saw the movie, the live action movie, some time ago. Enjoyed that too. It's going to be one of those games that I will always kind of relay as being a classic game from the PlayStation 1 era. My number three is actually one pairing between a known company and Square, and that is Nintendo. My number three, Super Mario RPG. Super Mario RPG. Back when little Bryant was renting video games from the grocery store, or begging his mom to, Super Mario RPG was one of those games that I came across and had no idea what an RPG was. I was, you know, I must have been 9, 10 years old. So this game comes out. It's got Mario on it. Of course, I'm 9. I love Mario. It's Mario Nintendo is my very first video game ever. So I was begging to rent it. I didn't understand it at the time. So I didn't like it when I was very young. I was like, I don't get this. I don't really understand what we're doing here with the combat. It wasn't until later when I, you know, actually played some additional RPGs that I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is really cool. And I still feel like they need to do another one. It's still one of those games that I go back to probably, I don't know, once every couple of years, play through it on an emulation, and on my Wii. On my Wii, I've still got my Wii hooked up with the, I don't play through emulators. Don't play it unless you own it, kids. But yeah, Super Mario RPG, it's got a blast of a storyline, cool combat system, cool art. Extremely, this game does not get enough credit for the aesthetic appeal or that art style of it. This kind of almost faux 3D that really makes the game stand out. I really enjoy it. My number two, of course, this will surprise nobody, is Chrono Trigger. I don't know if there's much I need to say about this. It's one of the best RPG stories of all time. You know, lots of twists and turns, a really incredibly deep antagonist to the story, and protagonist that really, this is one of those stories that unfolds as you play through the countless hours available to you in the game. And Chrono Trigger will always be considered by most people one of the greatest RPGs of all time for good reason. So I couldn't leave it off this list. And my number one, my final one, is Final Fantasy VI. If you've heard me talk about the Final Fantasy series on this show, you know how much I love Final Fantasy VI. What makes this one unique within the actual series itself is the character roster, the number of teams you have to use, Kefka as an antagonist just being one of the best antagonists of all time. You know, he's essentially the Joker in medieval age. And spoiler alert for a game that's been out for a while, the antagonist completes his goal halfway through the game. So you get to this point where you've been trying to stop it this whole time, and he just, oh, here it is, he wins. And it's kind of this interesting turn of events, and they go into this very deep mythology later on, leading to some of the characters and connected to their stories. The fact that you can miss characters in the game is incredible. You know, in some of those combos you'll need later on, the final tower fight, if you will, where you're going up Kefka's tower, it's got some incredible artwork. Of course, you can't forget about the squid or the opera. The opera sequence alone is beautiful. Some also runs for me is All-Star Pro Wrestling, released for the PlayStation 2. That was a lot of fun. Legend of Mana. Of course, Legend of Mana. Final Fantasy V is a lot of fun. Xenogears, that series. Xenogears is a lot of fun. Bushido Blade. I don't think Bushido Blade gets enough credit. Bushido Blade is a blast. It's got that unique body damage system in there that really makes it, you know, kind of interesting. You know, just kind of looking through the list here of some of these things that have come out and some of these things that deserve mention. A lot of crap. A lot of crap, as it's known. Square Enix. Enix had to come along and save them after they made that Final Fantasy movie, The Spirits Within. But I think the thing you'll see, and if you start looking into Square Enix, is not just the games they developed, but some of the games that they've published under different companies, whether it be Murdered Soul Suspect or Just Cause 2, put their name on Tomb Raider, of course, with Crystal Dynamics, Life is Strange, Deus Ex, Thief, that remake that they came out with not too long ago, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Infinity Ward. So it's just kind of this very interesting, deep company that has a lot of ties to the industry and is extremely crucial. So it was a good time to break those down. Again, let us know what your thoughts are, whether or not you agree or disagree with my opinions this week. You know, hit us up, skipthetutorialpodcast@gmail.com. And again, as we always do, we'll see you next week, of course. Todd will be back with a report on QuakeCon 2019. And next week, I believe we will be talking in full about the stuff that we've been playing. I'm excited because I've started playing a couple new games that I'm really enjoying that aren't Monster Hunter. Although that being said, I still have to get on there at least a couple hours today. All right, y'all have a good day. Enjoy your week and stay humble.
Hey everybody, it's Dustin from the HP Podcast.
And this is Ben. We're just coming here to tell you about our show, well, the HP Podcast.
The HP Podcast is a weekly video game podcast from HandsomePhantom.com that's also part of the HP Video Game Podcast Network. And Ben, it's a little hard to describe our show because it's a little bit of everything.
We get into a lot of shenanigans. We also talk about some news. We have some pretty serious topics sometimes. But sometimes our friend Brandon takes his shirt off and just does the show that way. So you should definitely check it out.
I think he got stuck to the seat last time.
It's possible.
Actually. So definitely. That was a time.
Yeah.
So anyway, check out our show. We would love that.
The HP Podcast.